a factor.
I know it's hard. It's hard to work in these conditions.
248-539-9797. Ticket text coming in. Phone calls if you want to jump on the conversation today. Are you confident? Are you with Meathead John Jansen? The Lions are going to take care of business. You're not worried. Or are you with, I don't know if I like the labeling of this, Frady Cat Costa, Scared Cat Costa, whatever we're doing. I am nervous about this matchup. We'll get those ticket texts. We'll get those phone calls. But I did promise something. I promised a Lions trade rumor that would do the unthinkable. It would make everybody happy. Feels impossible these days. It's from Adam Schefter, so credible. It was on Get Up yesterday, ESPN, big deal. He brought up not one name for the Lions, but two. Za'Darius Smith of the Cleveland Browns and New York Giants edge player Azeez Ojulari, who's having a good year rushing the passer, and they have extra pass rushers. They're not going anywhere. Both names are attainable. Both names could be had for day three picks. I feel like when we talk about the Lions trading and we start talking about giving up a first and mortgaging the future, people get nervous because they like Brad Holmes keeping those picks. Doesn't this make everybody happy? You get two pass rushers. You trade a fourth and a sixth, let's say, and you beef up that front while keeping the train on the tracks, keeping your first and your second. You'll still have a fifth, a couple sevenths, and we know Brad can manipulate throughout the draft. Isn't this the move? Especially if you can't get those big name guys. If you're getting stonewalled, if they're not taking your phone calls on the high-level guys, is the pivot point not both Za'Darius Smith and Azeez Ojulari? Everybody's happy. Two pass rushers, and you keep most of your good picks.
Done. Get it done now.
Great.
I would love for that to happen. I would love for either one of those to happen by themselves, but then you throw both of them in together. I mean, who wouldn't? Day three picks for one, Za'Darius Smith, who'd be here for 2 years, at least under contract for 2 years. And Azeez Ojulari, who is in the final year of his rookie contract, has 6 sacks on the season, and 5 of those have come in the last 3 games. So he is, you know, he's finding his stride. He also knows that he's in a contract year. So you're going to get his best performance. And who wouldn't love the opportunity, not that he has a choice, but if he is traded to Detroit, to be able to show off, not just in the regular season, for a team that everybody is watching, be the guy that comes in and provides some production that is left by Aiden Hutchinson, but to be able to do it in the playoffs, possibly do it in the Super Bowl, possibly come away with a Super Bowl ring. Wouldn't you love to be in a contract year with that on your resume? So I think you're going to get the best version of him. And you're also going to get a great version of Za'Darius Smith. He's an experienced player, very experienced in the division. And I would give up 2 day 3 picks if we were able to add both of those guys to the roster.
And against Za'Darius, the ask was a 4th from ESPN. That was the report. Ojulari, contract year. We saw Uche go for a 6th. So I think a 4th and a 6th could be right around what it's going to take to get both these players. The quote from Adam Schefter, I do think you're going to see that. You saw Dan Campbell get all fired up. He looked like the cat who ate the canary. They don't have a deal done yet, but there are a couple pass rushers out there. Za'Darius Smith, Azeez Ojulari in New York. A couple guys that make a lot of sense for the Lions. If you're this close and this good, why are you not willing to part with some mid-round picks to get the type of reinforcements to hold down the fort until Aiden Hutchinson can make it back for the Super Bowl? If you make it that far,
I mean, it's if he's able to be back, it's a long shot.
You don't like when this comes up because you almost feel like it paints this like impossibility and makes it a possibility.
Oh no,
I think it's
unfair to set those expectations that he'll be back. I would love to have him back, and if anybody has the ability to do that, or I'm not going to bet against Aiden to do it. I want to make sure we set the expectations of the injury that he had to be able to come back and be at the level that he was. It's a long shot.
Ticket text on the matchup this weekend. Can't take Meathead serious because he stands for the national anthem inside his own home. There's a reset. This one says,
oh, really? That's a negative?
It's odd.
It's odd.
It is odd, John.
Huh. Is it odd to be a Patriot?
Sure, John.
God bless America.
Didn't Green Bay come into our house and beat us last season? We can't take them lightly on the ticket text.
I don't think. Is anybody saying taking them lightly?
I think Meathead might be taking them lightly.
Oh, no. No, I just talked about kicking ass. That's not taking them lightly.
John is a slappy. Goodness, period. Oh, don't worry. They're coming at me too, John. I can read those.
Yeah.
This one says, Cookies sound scared. Oh my God, what if we lose? What if they just win the game and toughen up, Jim? Some of you live in a universe where only good things can happen, and I understand the Lions are a great football team.
That's the world I want to live in.
Right, but just because you want only good things doesn't mean only good things happen. Even you think they're going to lose a couple games this season still. Why can't this be one of them?
Maximum of two more.
Why wouldn't this be one of them? This is one of the toughest games remaining on the schedule. It's arguably the toughest road game they're going to play the rest of the way.
Could be. That's why you play the game. That's why you find out. That's why you show up. Show out. Don't get me going.
Cookies is the type to wear a North Face coat in the first week of September.
Puffy vest.
Bad weather helps the Lions more because it comes down to running the football. So as much as we panic about the weather, this ticket texter says it's a nod to the Lions that it's going to be rainy and windy.
Well, I believe it is too. But anytime you have that extra element, I mean, weird things can happen. It's going to be a factor in the game.
Did that lady call in to talk footballs or just balls?
I know. It felt like Gina was calling in just to make me say that. Like she was egging me on. I feel like that.
She claimed she wasn't setting you up for a drop,
yeah.
But I want to give her credit because she did it so well.
She did it well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can't help myself sometimes. She knows it.
On the subject of will the Lions fans take over again, Ticket Texter says, heading to Lambeau with eight other friends for a buddy's 30th birthday. We're sitting in the Monty Leap Zone, four rows up in the end zone. Go Lions.
Okay.
It does feel like their path is Monty, Gibbs, Gibbs, Monty, Sonic, Knuckles, Knuckles, Sonic. Run the ball 30-plus times and win this football game. Get out of there. Get out of there however you got to do it. And this week it feels like especially. I know they lean on the run. Do it even more so this week.
I'll add another player in there. Yeah, running the ball is going to be a big part if the weather holds out the way it's projected to. Sam Laporta, Brock Wright. I also think both of those guys could have big games, big moments. Now, maybe yardage might not be down the field as much, but to be able to dump the ball off to those guys to and it's not just Jahmyr Gibbs in the run game. It's being able to be creative in how you get the ball in his hands because you can run some of those flare routes. You can do some unique things to still get the ball in his hands in space and then let him work his magic.
Ticket Texter, voting team meathead, hashtag wet balls, hashtag slippery balls. Why is everyone at this station enamored with male genitalia? Fair question.
Is that everyone?
This one says, is it cold enough in Lambeau for shrinkage with the football?
Depends how much air is in there.
Right. Jansen stands for the national anthem in his own home. What a moron. Another one says, I'm with John. I stand for the national anthem in my house. What's wrong with that?
America.
I stand for the national anthem in my home too, John. We're different. We're proud Americans. Scott in Belleville.
Hey, you could do you. Just you do you. I'm going to be me.
I know you will.
Yeah.
And I'll be me.
And very confident in myself.
I'm proud of you, John.
Thank you. You too. Back at you.
248-539-9797. What is the consensus behind the glass? If you guys voted in our poll question today, are you confident or are you nervous?
Well, I'm on the security cat bandwagon because I picked against the Lions and the Pigs.
But you're a Packer fan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just can't get away from it. It's okay.
He wanted to try to be a Lion fan last year. Remember?
I know. Yeah, but that's okay. Just like I stand for the anthem, you do you. We respect that.
I'm confident. Maybe not as boldish as John, but this team's identity is to run the football, and it fits these conditions, and I think the Lions are the best team in the NFC, and then I think there's a bunch of other teams with maybe Philly lurking. Philly's playing better and better. I no reason to think that they won't win this game. Is it going to be pretty? No. Is it going to be as flashy as maybe the last it's not going to be like the Dallas game or the Titan game. It's going to be, I think, more like the Viking game. But I trust this team at this point. I have no reason not to trust them.
Will you pick against them at all this season?
Yeah. I don't know when yet.
Okay.
I think it depends on situations and spots. That Buffalo game has gotten significantly harder in my mind.
Because the way this show goes, and I know Lions fans are confident, I don't know that you guys will pick against them at any point this season.
There's a lot of variables that will play into that. I mean, we don't know.
I feel like we have a lot of variables this week, more than will be for any other game. This is pre-trade deadline. You guys are saying they're going to lose zero of these games.
We said three.
Without Aiden Hutchinson. No, without Aiden Hutchinson. My point is, the sample before the deadline, they're going to go through the entire thing unscathed.
The way they're playing?
That's what I'm saying. You're not going to pick against them all year.
Certainly,
no,
it looks
that's
like it.
No. See, this is where we're headed. And I think we were on to something before the season, that we thought the Eagles were going to be the threat. I still maintain that. They went through a lot. They didn't look good early. Had some injuries. Lost their top two receivers. That's significant. This is how this thing's playing out in my mind. The Lions are going to be able to beat the teams that have good quarterbacks. Are they going to be able to beat the teams that have great ones? You're going to have to face either Lamar or Mahomes in the Super Bowl, looks like right now.
Mm-hmm. Or Allen.
Or Allen. You got that Allen game later, and that's going to
be the only game they play the rest of the way against a great quarterback,
I believe,
right?
The elite, when they go up against elite quarterbacks, I don't know if they can beat them yet. And that's where the Hutch thing's going to play.
Yeah.
And we may get our first sample of that in the playoffs if they have to play Philly.
Okay.
Well, and here's the other thing. At the Texans, I'll tell you my concerns about what it looks like going into next week, and I'm not always just going to pick the Lions.
All right, we've got more to do. We've got Cookie Jar at 9:35. Mike Valeni in studio next. Get some of his thoughts on this matchup and his underdog pick of the week. It's 97.1.
You've heard me talk about injury attorney David Feminino for quite some time now. Just listen to some of the results that David and his team have been able to get for injured clients. $3.5 million for one, $5 million for another, $11.5 million for an individual client. You need a team and an attorney that's going to fight relentlessly for you. You can call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to the website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That's 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
It's a factor this weekend.
Greg, I'm going to need that.
Yeah.
Just if you want to put that in a folder for David, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's fantastic.
Caller prodded him and led him into it. It was beautiful.
Well, I heard you reading. I had a quick phone call, and then I heard texters were like, why are you guys obsessed with genitalia? And I'm like, what the hell did I miss? I've been gone for 3 minutes.
Yeah, well, Gina called up, and she was talking about the benefit of the Lions having a running game because it's supposed to rain. It's going to be a little windy. And she asked if during the week they were preparing appropriately for these situations. And I just let her know, yeah, there are a lot of drills that they'll be doing throughout the course of the week that they do on a regular basis. And it led to that drop. I'm not going to give you it twice.
No, I don't need it.
Oh, we already have once is plenty. Yeah.
John, we're good. John, even if you said something close to it, we have the AI equivalent out there. I can just punch it in the machine. Yeah. We're good. We're fine.
We'll get to your underdog in a second. You had Boston College last Friday night. Another win.
9-1.
Okay.
Not bad.
I want to know where you're at for Lions-Packers. John is very confident, broad shoulders, chest stuck out. I am nervous about this game. Where are you at?
Oh, boy. So what? This is where I get painted one way or the other. This is exciting.
Yeah.
Look, I have a different approach to the NFL, and this is not an insult. It's just Lion fans are experiencing something they've never experienced. So they're in euphoria, invincibility mode. They think they're the Avengers. That's not the NFL. John, you played. I know you played on a lot of bad teams. Not your fault. The point is, whether you're good or bad, I just bake in 4 or 5 losses. Now, could the Lions, I got on the bus last week. I said, okay, you know what? Maybe they can get to this 14-3. Let's have some fun.
Yeah.
But on the road, division game, Lambeau, and it's the most comprehensive passing game you will have faced. Now, the Titans, I will never knock what the Lions did, but I think we can all look at each other and go, that was a flaming dumpster. That team is atrocious. The Cowboys are atrocious.
And here's the other thing. We know the Cowboys are atrocious now, and we knew it at the time going into that game, but you play at Dallas, you play at Minnesota, at Green Bay, at the Houston Texans, and those are 4 times in 5 games.
Yes. And if they sweep the board, you're going 14-3.
Right,
no
correct.
Doubt.
Right.
But
and
you're
most
asking.
Likely you're dropping one of those games.
That's my point. You and just is, bake it in. And
is this not a likely, if you're going to lose a couple games a season, is this not one of the more likely spots?
Yes.
Right.
Look, I just viewed it that if I could beat Dallas, which I thought they would, mm-hmm. beat Tennessee, obviously, duh, you split Green Bay, Houston, and you're able to sit back and go that quarter of the season, those games, we went 3-1. Yeah, you sign up for that all day. I mean, John, give the player perspective. You view it, I know it's a week-by-week league, but the quadrants, coaches often will say, hey, first season, second season, third season, you take 3-1 each season, you're 12-4. Like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing with house money at that point.
Now, again, maybe Love is compromised. Maybe Sunday we turn on the TV, he blows his knee out. I don't know. And then, yeah, it's a cakewalk. But if you're asking me, like, I heard the picks, and I'm stony, I guess. It's a home divisional dog that really needs the game getting 3.5. I'm going to take the points.
So where the weather, I think, makes a bigger difference, and this may take a little bit of their playbook away, Jordan Love, groin.
Yep.
They don't necessarily even – part of his – you know, superpower is mobility.
What if they do the Michigan? What if they go 2QB system, huh?
Oh, baby.
Malik Willis, their version.
Woo! Yeah, no. But if they are concerned about getting him outside the pocket because they don't want him to slip, I mean, it's a legitimate possibility.
You know, you realize if you had your starting defensive line, there's no scenario I would take the Packers.
Right.
But this is my problem. You don't have a pass rush. Right. At all.
And it's
you're facing a team that doesn't have one wide receiver to take away. They use everybody. They put the janitor in on third downs in these five wide sets. They got guys I don't even know who the hell they are. So, I look, I'm just different. It's not even like a thought process or a personal thing. It's not a knock. I think the Lions are fabulous. I'm always going to look at a home divisional dog that is a playoff team getting 3.5. I got to take it. Maybe you're right. John, maybe they line up and they hit Green Bay with a garbage can. They run for 2.25. And Jordan Love can't take a snap. I don't approach it like
that. Not to send you into a frenzy here. The line has moved. It's 2.5.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That only makes me like the Packers more.
Yeah, well,
what's going on with that?
I don't know. Maybe it's the idea that Love is actually going to play. And that was maybe more of a question during the week. We'll get into it with Cash a Ticket later.
Oh, what, I can't wait.
Dog of the week.
All right. You and I did this yesterday. I'm not going to do the stinkiest one of the week. But let's do a classic Big Ten matchup. USC, Washington. I mean, nothing screams Big Ten like those two. Give me Washington at home, getting 2.5. USC has no pass rush. Will Rogers, when not pressured, is actually really good. And at a certain point, USC, when you can make the losing play, you do. It's who you are. Lincoln Riley, 2-8 as a road favorite at USC against the number.
Uh-oh.
UW, Purple Rain, to go 10-1.
John, you in? I'm in.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, that's not bad, right?
You've watched both these teams.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to do the other one.
What's the other one?
We were going to see if John wanted a little bet on Purdue this week.
Oh, it's so gross.
Come on, buddy.
Purdue's playing Northwestern, right?
Gross. But hold on. Oh, work with me now. 15 days to prepare for this game. You're at home. Northwestern's in a debt spiral. Woo! We got Ryan Walters calling plays. Boiler up. Toot, toot.
Hammer down.
Come on, man. You got a kid at Purdue.
I know. I would take Purdue. This is why I don't do this.
It's
emotion. Like, I can't remove emotion. I can always find something.
John, the bottom line is we're all just guessing.
Yeah.
I mean, if doctors are guessing, newsflash, picking a game, you're guessing.
Yeah. Some of us are guessing. Others of us are winning. Let's get to Heather's
That's
news.
True. Dominating could be the word.
Dominating. Yes.
Well...
No, I'm not arguing. No,
good.
But she's 11 games above 500.
I've heard because he complains about it all the time.
Which is exactly
you're living
what
rent
I like.
Free in his head.
Exactly. A man is facing felony charges after punching a sleeping passenger, basically over and over in the face and the head on a recent United Airlines flight.
I gotta go, guys. Yeah. I just what are we doing
I know.
Here?
About 2 hours into this flight, this guy, Everett Nelson, got up from his seat. He walked to the bathroom. I'm guessing used the bathroom.
Right. Yeah.
Walked back to his seat, and on his way back to his seat, just decided to start physically attacking this guy who was sleeping in the window seat.
In the window seat?
Yes.
So he had to go across too?
Yes. The victim sustained bruising on his eyes. He had a gash on his nose. There was blood splattered on the seats and on the suspect. So obviously somebody intervened, got this guy. They moved his seat, kind of restrained him until they landed. He was met by law enforcement and
charged.
Did he
ever explain what set him off?
No, I have no idea.
Just a well-adjusted person.
We may never know,
I mean, like, what am I supposed to say to this?
Nothing.
How do you guys do this?
You don't need to say anything.
Break out the duct tape.
Yeah. The Warren Police Department is being sued by an innocent bystander who was injured in this fiery crash. So it happened back in June. Warren police were pursuing a car at really high speeds. They went through like a residential area, got onto the main roads, and this big crash occurred. Brittany Turner, she's the one that is suing the police department, was pulled from a burning car. She suffered broken bones, burns when she was slammed into by the car police were chasing. And now she's suing for $60 million. Huh? And the police department says, hold up. How are we responsible for this? This is not our fault. We're not the ones who crashed into you. In fact, the Warren Police Lieutenant has said, quote, the bad guy strikes an innocent motorist and yet we're blamed. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So they're basically taking no responsibility for it at all.
Time out. Do me a favor. Can we fast forward to one thing that doesn't make me want to throw myself off a bridge?
Okay.
Give me one bit of good news on a Friday.
Listen to this.
I'm begging you.
Okay. Jared Goff has accomplished something that no other quarterback in Lions history has ever done.
Let's hear it.
Okay. He was named NFC Offensive Player of the Month, becoming just the third player in franchise history to receive the designation. That's pretty cool, right? Yeah.
That's good stuff on
a
Friday.
Good news, right?
Up next, shot out of cannon, launched to the Canadian border. Oh my God.
You have the one about the Detroit River?
No. They will be swimming. He won't be launched out of a cannon. He will decide to swim across.
Oh, and then need to be rescued because...
Again.
Authorities and Coast Guard spent hours searching for someone in the Detroit River, but they're still not sure if somebody actually was in there or not because they never rescued anybody, called off the search because people keep deciding to swim across the river and then they need assistance.
Isn't that why they put up nets under the Golden Gate Bridge? They had too many people jumping and then it cost like $100,000 to go recover the body. So Heather, every time somebody would decide that, you know, because you're not going to fall off the Golden Gate, they would have to get like 18 boats involved and get them before they go out to the Pacific. Yeah. So they put this secret net underneath the thing.
Well, guess we're going to need it on the Detroit River.
Unfortunately.
Or my answer is let them float away.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, look for bubbles.
Finally, Starbucks is discontinuing its line of olive oil infused coffee drinks after customers joked that it was a legit laxative.
Oh.
And it sounds absolutely awful. Why would you get a coffee with olive oil?
I would never order that. John, you're a coffee drinker. You ever thought, hey, let's...
I'm out.
It's their Oleato line. Debuted last year, went nationwide 9 months ago. The creator of the drinks was the former CEO, and he thought that this was going to like transform the coffee industry because he went to Italy, and apparently people in Italy drink spoonfuls of olive oil every day. Anyway, didn't work.
It might come back. Is that true?
People complained about stomach issues, bowel issues, and needing to get to the bathroom quite quickly.
It's Heather with the news. You want some fun on a Friday? We got the cookie jar next. It's 97.1. All right. This week's cookie jar has some election questions.
Oh, we're going political again?
My
goodness.
And some Lions-Packers questions. Buckle up, John.
All right.
The first one, eliminate one forever. Election ads or election phone calls and texts?
This is easy.
Super
get rid of the ads.
Yeah, get rid of those ads. They're awful. And you know what? You can block those text messages. Like, I think I've only actually seen 2-3 come through my phone because all of them go to the blocked. Like, I get a notification that, like, spam or something's coming through, but I don't have to click on it.
But Heather, did you know you can check your voting score?
Oh, can you?
Yes,
are you going to shame me? Are you going to go online and shame me?
It's the first time I've seen that.
But you can't see who I voted for, so.
Yeah,
right.
That's private.
Well,
I hate those ads. I hate all of the ads.
I know. The problem is it doesn't matter what channel or even what app you're on. They show up and you change the channel and all of a sudden, oh, there's another one.
Yes. Or like you just want to watch one little thing. I click on a video and it's like, I've got to sit through this
ad first.
Awful ad?
Oh, I would get rid of the ads. There is a defense against the calls and the attacks. Like you're saying, John, the ads are far more intrusive. Mm-hmm. I can't watch the Bob Ross channel without these things showing up.
That's right. She's still alive? Just kidding.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ads, and it's because of the way they're presented. I just think that the way they are presented, both sides, whichever side you're on, are so creating fear and hate. Get rid of the ads.
I'm with you guys. The ads, you can't avoid them. They find you. No matter where you're streaming, no matter what you're doing, they'll find you. The next question. Posting about voting on election day, is it attention-seeking behavior or good encouragement for others?
So this one, I don't really care because I don't have to see your posts if I don't want to. And how many wear the sticker after you leave? I voted.
It's attention-seeking. I saw
yours.
Did
you wear the sticker?
I posted.
And I thought you were posting it for attention.
I was encouraging people. We have the new early voting. Get out and vote. We need more people
to
vote.
But it does. Like, we all know there's early voting. We don't need to see your post. I don't need to see your post, your selfie at the poll station.
Do you wear the sticker? I voted.
No, I don't.
Okay. Oh, so, okay, you have ground to stand on. People that wear the voting sticker, I'm fine with that. I'll wear my vote.
I'll give it to my daughter. She'll wear it.
Okay. Well, we know she likes
voting. She can't be voting.
Oh, right. Yeah. But it's, again, if that's something you want to do, fine. I don't care.
Attention seeking. Easy.
I think anything you post online is for attention. Anything. It doesn't need to be about voting. It could be about your cat. Or something else. But
yeah.
Which
not sure which attention you're seeking there.
Which ticket host / producer is the hardest to guess who they're voting for?
I think this one for me was pretty easy, and it's a guy that we work with. It's Greg Hargrave. And the reason I say that is, one, he keeps his opinions to himself. And I see him as a guy that is not going to vote straight ticket, that is going to be very diligent at researching the topics, the candidates, and he will vote for, in that moment, who he believes is best for that position.
Yeah, Greg is the answer here. We still don't know who he voted for in 2016. I mean, he just doesn't, at some point, don't you just say, hey, I did it. It's been long enough, but he won't. He's old school. My mom always said, don't tell people who you vote for.
Yeah.
Don't talk politics. I will say this. On the show, I'm pretty confident I know who John's voting for, and I'm pretty confident I know who Jim's voting for.
Complete mystery.
Yeah. I do think there is some mystery and intrigue to Heather.
Sure.
Oh.
I know, but I think I could make a case for the other.
Sure.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I went with Gator. I don't have a good read on Gator. I don't mean that in a slight. I mean, I think he's hard to read politically.
Gator?
Yeah.
You know what? When we have the would you eat this? I listen to him, yeah. In that one. And occasionally we ask him some questions. And every time I think I know where he's going to go with it, he surprises me. And it's not what I thought.
Did we get one from Heather?
You know what? I don't know. I was going to pick you, Greg, because that's kind of like the running thing we talk about that we don't know. But I don't think we need to know.
No, we don't. Well, that's not the question.
And that should be said. It is your right to keep that private.
I will say this. So my guess is Evan. I would say Evan.
Oh, that's a good guess. Yes.
Secondly, I'm not going to tell you, but who do you guys think I'm voting for? I'm curious about that.
I don't want to answer that.
No.
Not answering that one.
No.
I'm not going to tell you.
So then I'm not going to guess. Right.
Yeah. So I'm not going to guess. If I'm never going to know the answer, why guess?
The next question, it's the last one about the election. Would you want to be president?
No.
Yes. Why not?
I would hate to be president. Absolutely hate it. There's no way. I am not political at all. I would not want to be in the spotlight like that. Heck no. Pass.
Oh, John, why would you want to be president?
Well,
go ahead, campaign.
You would have the opportunity to make the changes that you wanted to make. And, whether or not you're able to reach across the aisle, that's not the point. The point is you would get to influence how you live and for those around you.
John doesn't sleep. I sleep too much. No.
Have you seen how these people age, all of them, from
fast.
Oh, it's the stress of the position. And I don't think you can get as much done as you would think you could get done. Gridlock in Congress, political BS.
So
I say no.
What would be on John's agenda? Like his running 27th Amendment. You must stand in your living room for the national anthem.
Yes. Make it an amendment, yes.
I wouldn't be because, unfortunately, I feel this thing so far down the toilet with lobbyists that what I would try to do, I'd probably be assassinated, which would actually be try to unite this country and maybe start with what starts with this country. It's supposed to be we the people. There's no we anymore. It's supposed to be all of us together. Right. I sound like I'm running.
Yeah.
All right. The Lions play the Cheeseheads this week. Give me the best cheese, but no repeats.
Oh, well, I know nobody's going to repeat mine, so go for it.
I'm going to go Munster cheese.
Spiced Gouda. By the way, my guess. Well, I shouldn't say guess, because I don't want anybody to take John's guess.
Go ahead.
You're a spicy Gouda guy? I like feta.
Okay.
Feta.
I didn't peg you for a feta guy.
I know you're not going to pick mine.
No, because I don't like cheese. I was going to say cream cheese.
That counts.
Sure. Okay. I'd take that, yeah. Cream cheese by the spoonful.
Right. Yeah.
John?
Uh-huh. Would you like to guess?
Greg, what did you think?
Mr. stands in his living room for the national anthem. I'm going to guess American cheese.
No, not American cheese. No. American cheese is not actual. I mean, it is cheese, but it's not
cheese. Cheese product?
Yeah, it's cheese product. Blue cheese.
Oh.
Blue cheese is...
Stinky cheese.
Oh, man. Blue cheese is gross. So good. A creamy blue cheese. Mmm.
Yeah.
It goes on everything. It's, in fact, the best is when you have a Detroit-style pizza with bacon and blue cheese. Sprinkle a little sausage on there. It's amazing.
At least you're self-aware to know nobody else is going to take that. Nobody else wants your stinky blue cheese. This last one. Are the Packers the biggest rival in all of Detroit sports right now? And if not, who is?
Oh, I think it's clear it is. You might be starting to see one, depending on what the Tigers do this year, getting knocked out by a division opponent, the Cleveland Guardians. That might be a developing one, but the Tigers aren't where the Lions are. And I don't think there's any rivalries with the Red Wings or the Pistons because who are they beating?
I do think it's the Packers.
Yeah.
I think they're the biggest threat right now in this division. The Lions are the kings of this city. It's right in front of them right now.
Some may argue Minnesota.
Heather's people?
Yeah, Heather's people.
Yes.
The Vikings.
The Vikings.
But...
Thank you. The actual Packers, as opposed to
the Green Bay Packers.
I don't think that's been played on the air in 10 years, and it's still in the system. That's awesome. All right. It is the Packers right now. I will say, I think about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more, I would have said potentially Wings Blackhawks, and it was ruined by realignment.
Yep. Well, there you have it. There's the cookie jar. It's 97.1. Busy Friday show. If you missed any of it, Odyssey app. Use the Odyssey Rewind. Go back. We had the picks. We had the cookie jar. We had the latest Lions trade rumors. Talked a lot of Lions Packers. John, it's also college football season. You have the number one team in the country headed to Ann Arbor. You have the undefeated Indiana Hoosiers headed to East Lansing. This should be a fun college football weekend, but our teams haven't held up their end of the bargain here. And I wonder if it's taken away from college football for people. Like, to me... Just my opinion. I know some people are getting disillusioned with the sport. I love that we've spread out a little more of the talent with the transfer portal, with NIL, that we have a 12-team playoff to keep not just four or five teams in the thick of this, but 15 to 20 teams down the stretch run fighting for seeding, a spot, a bye week. I love what we're seeing with the sport right now. I don't love that Michigan and Michigan State are not participants in all of it.
Sure, yeah, they're both out of it. But you look at the big dogs, Georgia. They already have a loss. Clemson, they already have a loss. In fact, that was Georgia at the beginning of the year.
Sure.
Alabama's got two losses. They're not even in the top 12 anymore. So you look at all of the teams that have dominated the headlines for the past decade of college football, and it doesn't feel, I know Georgia's two, Oregon's one, Penn State's in there, Ohio State's in there. I don't think there's anybody that you would sit there and say, I am 100% confident that that team, let alone is going to win a national championship, but will be playing in the national championship game.
I think that's good.
I do too. It's going to be, and I think a lot of college football fans are going to get have to get used to the age of the college football dynasty, I think, is over. I don't know that we're going to have another undefeated national champ, and some of that is some of it may be luck of the draw in regards to the schedule. All right, Penn State's schedule hasn't been very difficult, but they are going to have that game. They're hosting Ohio State.
Massive game. Now, some people will say it doesn't mean as much because of the 12-team playoff. Fine, but I think the trade-off is it still does matter, right? In the sense that if Ohio State loses, they don't have control of their destiny to get to a Big Ten title game. A Big Ten title game will serve as a chance to be the one or the two seed with a bye week.
Yeah.
That matters. It could decide a home game in the college football playoff. And I think that matters quite a bit when we talk about teams from the SEC potentially having to come up here in December and January to play college football games. This stuff matters. I know it doesn't mean the same as a true elimination game, John, but the trade-off is, in addition to Ohio State and Penn State fans having something to root for this week, so does Indiana, right? I mean, you could start looking at the teams that are suddenly in the title picture that never were before. Boise can play themselves in, right? Iowa State's undefeated. BYU's undefeated. They could collision course and one of them will likely get in. There's more teams playing for something this time of year.
Well, and okay, Oregon has set itself up to run the table in the regular season because they're obviously going to be in Ann Arbor this week. They're heavily favored.
Yep.
They're playing Maryland, Wisconsin, and Washington. All teams that they're going to be very heavily favored against. So they may be the answer to this question. But of the undefeated teams that are in the top 15, mm-hmm. you've got Oregon, you've got Penn State, you've got Miami, BYU, Iowa State, and Indiana. Do any of those resonate as, I think they're going to end the season undefeated?
No, the Oregon may be the only
exception. Oregon may be the only one. And so, and now Oregon, okay, they get the one seed or two seed, whatever.
Yeah.
And they get the bye. But there's going to be pitfalls when you start playing tougher opponents in the college football playoffs.
Right.
You never know what can happen.
Even if you're the best team, you're right. Instead of playing one or two big games at the end of the year, you're going to have to win a conference title game to get that bye.
Right.
And then you're going to have to face a couple, two, three in a row of teams that are battle tested that have had to win their way to get there too.
And I don't really think there's anybody that sits there and says, Penn State, are they going to run the table? I mean, they may lose this weekend.
Yeah, they're underdogs.
Ohio State's already lost. Miami. Yep. I mean, okay, Cam Ward and the ACC's not great, but they may have to play Clemson in the ACC championship game, who's playing really good, but they already have a loss.
Right.
BYU out of the Big 12. Like, what do you trust about them? They've been playing with fire. Indiana. I don't know if anybody can imagine Indiana being an undefeated college football team.
That's Windiana to you.
They can look, still you can still on. Have a huge collection of one-loss teams, and even two-loss teams. I mean, I don't think we're going to have the three-loss team make the college football playoff like we thought we were going to have at the beginning of the year.
A possibility. But I think down the road, we will have some three-loss teams make it in. This year, I don't think it happens.
And I think a big culprit of that, I think these conferences have been thinned out so that there are a lot of major pitfalls that are avoided naturally.
Yes. Yeah, Indiana's avoided. It's going to come down to there could be a team that is a dominant football team. If we believe that Penn State was built as a dominant football team this year, their big challenge is Ohio State. Other than that, they don't really play anyone else.
I will say, John, just because there might not be a 15-0 or 16-0 national champion does not mean that it's a down year in college football necessarily.
I apologize to everyone if that's what you're taking away from what I'm talking about. It's a down year in regards to, I don't think there is a dominant team, but I don't think it's a down year in regards to, I love the competition for that top spot. And you could come up with any number of combinations right now in regards to who's going to be playing for the national championship. And I don't know that anybody really knows or thinks they know who that's going to be.
Gator is in the studio. On Fridays, he typically points